Thank you very much. Yeah. In fact, I just want to warn you that probably some people listen to more or less the same talk about last week in Kansas. Yeah, so what I will talk about, it's a question about spectra of Hamiltonians. I'll speak about one in one degree of freedom, just to take consider some Hamiltonian, quantum Hamiltonian, with some, let's say, polynomial potential, and kind of bounded below. So you get things like this. And when we're interested in the spectrum of this operator, so operator X from L2 of R to itself, and has bounded below spectrum. So we are interested in low energy spectrum as h bar goes to zero. Yeah, so it's very classical question in quantum mechanics, which people were interested in from the very beginning. And the picture was, it's kind of the contribution spectrum come from absolute minimum. Get absolute minimum of potential. And here you get a very good approximation, a harmonic oscillator. How to calculate? So the eigenvalues will be depend on h bar. And the lost again, and they all will be very close to minimum of the potential. This absolute minimum, and will separate it by something of size h bar. So this eigenvalue admits asymptotic expansion. Yeah, so what you get? You get infinitely many asymptotic expansions, kind of like Ek of h bar will be this V minimum, maybe just one number, I don't know. Plus certain sum, certain coefficients depending on K and N. N will be also greater than zero, h bar to power N. Yeah, so you get plenty of real numbers labeled by two integers. K is the level of your eigenvalue, and N is a Taylor coefficients in h bar expansion. Yeah, this series are typically, I think, divergent. It's maybe examples of resurgent series. And a lot of efforts was in quantum mechanics to calculate the series. It's in general very long calculation, and people develop some softwares like for polynomial potential, how to make some calculation to do this. And so the goal of my talk to explain some way to calculate so we want to calculate all this C and K, all these things. And the nullity will be essentially without non-commutative algebra. It will be the calculation basically inside algebraic geometry. And this is a project which I started quite a long time ago, maybe 5 years ago. And then we last year discussed it at length with Alex Söbelman, not Jan, his son, and I think we are now in a very good shape, and the results are something which one can even maybe use on computer and to get very efficient calculation. So how to proceed? Yes, so usually what people do is they try to write creation and annihilation operator and make some calculus. So this have such things, yeah. And you make calculus. You put creation. You play with non-commuting symbols and try to do something. But there is a better way. We should use some kind of Birkhoff normal form, maybe quantum Birkhoff normal form. Yeah, that will be the key tool to control the series. Before explaining what is a quantum Birkhoff normal form, I will explain what is a classical Birkhoff normal form. Kind of classical case. Yeah, so I have 1 degree of freedom. Let's assume that I have a symplectic manifold M omega of real dimension 2. So it's kind of like domain in, maybe think about domain in R2. And then I have a classical Hamiltonian, which is a function from M to R. And suppose it has some point, M0, M, which is a local minimum. And second derivative is positive at this minimal point. Yeah, what is the normal form of this pair of M of triple manifold, symplectic form, and this classical near M0? Yeah, I can shift by constant. I can assume that H classical of M0 is equal to 0, just shift by constants. Yeah, if you wouldn't have without simple two form, we can find local coordinates. Said that H classical is x square plus y square. It's standard Morse theory. And if you draw level sets, you get circles, and that's the standard picture. But what is these two form? Yeah, one can analyze the story in high dimension, but I'll stick to two dimensions. With two form, it's very, very easy. Two form is just area element. And then if you have this classical potential, then I can write domain. And, or this maybe. You have this domain. Oops, sorry. Maybe I should put like this. Okay. And integrate omega, you get certain number. If it will be a usual sum of squares, it will be pi. Oh, not a square. Put some constant, maybe t. Is equal to pi t, because you get a disk of radius square root of t. It's area is pi r square. Okay, it's for a usual harmonic oscillator. In general, you get just some series. You get some series a1 t plus a2 t square plus etc. where n is big, 0. In general. So I get a form power series in T. And it actually be actual function on positive real 9. And this is it's the only invariant when you calculate, consider interaction of level set of function and volume element. That's the only thing which you can get. The area of the disks. label well known set. Or equivalently, one can say the following. One can say it's this Hamiltonian. It's certain series, maybe with different coefficients, can like inverse series. H0 is harmonic oscillator, or maybe one can better to write it like in quantum mechanics, half of sum of squares. And omega is dx dy. Yeah, so you see that your classical Hamiltonian, it's certain invertible change of coordinates from harmonic oscillator to something else. The same is true in quantum case. And how to formulate the things properly in the quantum case. Instead of symplectic manifolds, one consider an associative algebra over form power series in H bar, or maybe algebra over complex numbers, sorry, to have some reality condition. You get some algebra. This will be a quantization of your manifold. And algebra is flat over H. This thing, it has some limit. And if you go to the quotient by ideal, it will be isomorphic to, let's say, functions on your manifold. And if you have two elements of your algebra and take A, B divided by I H bar, and take value at of these things at h bar equal to zero, then it will be Poisson bracket. Yeah, this algebras are locally unique. It's essentially you write what's called h bar differential operators. You consider things like h bar dx, du dx, and you consider expressions in, and also formally in form power series in H bar. So it's this, for example, the standard example is maybe I can write a Moyal product. It's you consider this algebra will be C infinity functions in R2 with variables x and y, and also take form power series at H bar. And if you have A and B and want to define what is a product, star product, by definition, this is the following. It will be AB plus H bar of commutator, maybe divided by two, plus et cetera. And the formula will be the following. It will be sum over n greater than zero. You take d over d, let's see, y to power n, a, dx, and b, multiply by maybe h bar to power n, divided by n factorial. Yeah, so great. This formula, it's a star product. And any product locally is isomorphic to Moyal product can generalize to many variables. Yeah, so you get replacements of manifold, and instead of classical things, we have element, some quantum operator in this algebra, and on most of it's actually have some star algebras. It's not star product, but it has real structure. It's algebra is isomorphic to equivalent to complex conjugate and opposite, and through some reality conditions, we get some self-adjoint element. And you are interested in a kind of spectrum of these things. Yeah, just examples of this element, for example, is this usual Hamiltonian, or it could be any expression. And what does it mean in spectrum? Spectrum of quantum operator at local minimum. I claim this will be exactly this collection of series which I introduced before. If you remember, there was a series. It will be a collection of series sum of ckn h bar to power n. Okay, again, 0, 1, 2, 3. It will be just a big collection of series, and how to first I'll give you formal definition. And then tell a few words how it's related to real life. For the formal definition, we need a quantum Birgo form. Normally, I recall that in the classical case, if you have Hamiltonian near minimum, then it's certain series in standard Hamiltonian. Yeah, so we get this kind of standard quantum Hamiltonian, which is maybe I'll tell them maybe x hat will be operator of multiplication by x, y hat will be minus I h bar du dx. Yeah, so it will be 1/2 of h bar square plus y bar square. You get standard Hamiltonian, and then the claim is my Hamiltonian, which is not standard one. Again, it can be written as a form, maybe some constant, a zero plus a one times h zero q plus a two h zero q squared, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all a I are form power series in h bar as well. Yeah, so to get, again, it's, it depends on things in two variables. So if you open it, it will be something like sum over maybe bkn and get maybe h0 canonical to power k and h bar to power n. And what is b1 0 is not 0. Positive in fact, yeah. Yeah, so we get this property. And yeah, so you get another things in two variables. And so what I claimed is quantum Hamiltonian, it's some expression in a standard one. And for the standard Hamiltonian, we know what is this for H0Q spectrum is. Is what is h bar 1/2 h bar, 3/2 h bar, 5/2 h bar, and so on. Yeah, so one can write it, the spectrum is something like k plus 1/2 h bar, k is equal to 0, 1, 2, maybe l. Yeah, so now how go from one. For Birgo Schnorr form, the classical one, you just substitute in this series. You replace h zero q by its eigenvalue. When a substitution, you get some series in h bar, and you get infinitely many series depending on this level. Yeah, so what you predict the series for eigenvalues in original things come from this guy by this substitution. And this substitution is kind of very it's a bit non-trivial map. So not anything which you, it gives you a lot of relations between CKN. You get some polynomiality roughly in certain parameters. Yeah, so we replace one problem then by another, but we encode this hidden polynomiality in original series CKN to something which doesn't have any a priori properties. You get just, again, another series in two variables, that BKN, which controls the first one. Okay, so the whole question is to reduce the things to the normal form. Now I'll continue.
So this is the main conjecture, yeah?
It's not conjecture. Just a second, it's today. Yeah, it's not a conjecture because maybe I can tell you this. There is the actual analytic result. It's a theorem by Sjostrand about maybe 15 years ago. Is that if you have, it's formulated in a certain way, but in particular for, let's say, polynomial differential operators, depending on small parameter, and some conditions that the spectrum is bounded below, this actual spectrum admits a series expansion coming from this normal quantum normal form. Of course, the theorem is in any number of degrees of freedom. What about many degrees in freedom? So many degrees of freedom. One can assume that your symplectic form is like this. You get capital N degrees of freedom. And then you assume that your kind of classical Hamiltonian is sum over, this omega I squared 1/2 of x y squared plus y I squared. It's a kind of sum of harmonic oscillators plus high order terms, cubic terms. Yeah, so you get certain frequencies, and assuming that if considered vector space generated by VI, it's embedded in R, so they're linearly independent. There are actually two theorems. Actually, for any classical Hamiltonian, a certain function formal series in after some symplectic change of coordinates this is classical theorem, and quantum version is a series in the same stuff and also H bar. And form power series in H bar. And then one can substitute half integers multiplied by H bar and get a spectrum of your quantum system. Okay, so it's a relation to actual analysis. But for me, it will be purely algebraic question, because even though I don't need real numbers, I can do any field of characteristic zero, and I can do this calculation of the spectrum at critical point of kind of most critical point of the Hamiltonian. Okay, now the question, how to understand quantum algebra and this quantum Hamiltonian kind of star algebra and Hamiltonian. How to understand this object? Yeah, let's even do in a classical case. It says have manifold, symplectic form, and Hamiltonian. And I assume that, I assume that dimension of manifold is 2. So I have only 1 degree of freedom in my talk. And then what I see, I have kind of formally, in quotation mark, integrable system. I get just one Hamiltonian, it's commute with itself. And it's formally an integrable system. I get number of Hamiltonians is equal to half of dimension of M. Of course, it's not actual integrable systems. The kind of Lagrangian. So I get Lagrangian vibration from manifold to, let's say, a fine line, kind of R1 or C1 if you do algebraic. Or complex numbers, you get a map, which is a projection. And of course, fibers are curves. Any point in a basis is a curve. And it's Lagrangian, yeah, so it's nothing to not to agree. But it's like, Lagrangian, even in real case, it's could be not compact. It's on a complex case, it's not abelian variety, just complex curve, maybe of high genus, if you do over complex numbers. Yeah, so from now I see, I really want to stay now over complex numbers. Let's do it over complex numbers, because when I consider polynomial potential, I can assume that all my variables are complex. Yeah, so I get integrable system. When we consider this quantum situation, it's also we get kind of quantum integral system. And then there was a quasi theorem. It's very elementary, in fact, observation, but a fundamental one by Mauricio Garay and Hugo van Straten, maybe about 20 years ago, that a quantum integrable system is the same as classical integrable system depending on parameter. Depending formally on h bar. Like over form power series, and quantum integrable system in terms of the star algebras, star product, you know, not actual Hilbert spaces, but kind of sheaf of algebras on some complex manifold. That's a complex integrable complex. And kind of in star algebra, in star product language. Yeah, in general, if you want to formulate in many degrees of freedom, you want to have some manifold with star product and a map from this manifold to some base. You know, you still get classical manifold to get mapped to the base. And then algebra functions on the base will be embedded as commutative subalgebras. Kind of O of B will be embedded as commutative subalgebra. In this quantum algebra. It's analogous definition integral systems Poisson commuting subalgebra.
So do you want to say, Maxim, do you want to say that quantizations of the integral system are the same as commutative deformations of it?
Yes. Yeah, but I will say, and so why it's quasi theorem. What is wrong about this theorem? How one can prove this theorem? You consider a local piece. Yeah, suppose I can go to many variables. Just do it in one in case of 1 degree of freedom. I get some manifold. I get sheaf of algebras. You get local piece. And in this local piece, I assume that DP is not zero, kind of. It's not a degenerate map. So I get what? Let's just do one variable. It's kind of enough. So in the classical limit, you get a fibration you get an open domain, two-dimensional domain, with symplectic form and foliation by lines, by level sets. By curves. And such things, they all look the same. They're all isomorphic to each other. All such guys, such structures are standard. It's kind of like omega is dx plus which dy, and projection is xy to xa. So you get vertical lines. What is ambiguity? You can introduce such coordinates. Ambiguity is the following. You can do essentially two things. You can either add x. Cotangent bundle maps to a manifold. You can either make a diffeomorphism. Okay, with certain series, C0 plus C1x plus blah, 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 C10. You can make some change of coordinates on the base, and also y goes to y times derivative dx prime to dx, something like this. You make a corresponding transformation of a cotangent bundle. It's one thing, or another thing, you can add to y variable some function f of x. In general, add to graph of differential of closed one form. Yeah, so this the Lie algebra of infinitesimal symmetries is a very simple one. Is vector fields in one variable, let's continue to like R or C, whatever, and a semi-direct product with space of closed form in R, which is, in fact, it's kind of like phi x dx with this closed one form. And the same one can do in several variables. So it's a change of coordinates and closed one forms. It turns out the same is true in quantum case. So this you identify with algebra functions on B will be functions in X and also formally depending now on H bar. So it's kind of like a little bit you get the sector parameter and algebra will be functions in H bar do dx, X and H bar. And one is embedded to another. It's a commutative subalgebra. And you get the same, absolutely the same transformation, but now things start depend on H-bar. Yeah, so what does it mean? So if you have a quantum integrable system, you cover your variety by some domain when you put it in some standard form, covered by standard domains, and then you get some transition functions on intersection. There is actually one thing. If my this kind of small remark. If on B we already have a canonic such and shortened coordinates, have a coordinate, then the first things will disappear. The only ambiguity is it's xy goes to x y plus 5x. The same as quantum in classical case. And what does it mean in coordinate? It's your Hamiltonian, which you're interested in. It will be coordinate on the base in this one dimensional case. Yeah, so suppose I have a quantum regular system with coordinate on the base. And then what we get transition functions in abelian sheaf, section of sheaf of abelian groups. So I get some class of H1 of a certain sheaf. It's the same sheaf in quantum classical case, and voila, you identify classical and quantum system. Where's the catch? Okay, the catch is that everything works outside critical points in the total space. And this critical point gives rise to a certain interesting structure. So in our case, when I have like polynomial in two variables, yeah, is a classical limit, then critical points of this polynomial is a finite subset of C square. And if you assume that they're all Morse, so you'll have the following picture near critical point. You get like point where you really don't understand what is going on, and then you get singularity. And instead of sum of squares, for me it will be more convenient to have local coordinates, something like z1 cross z2. That will be polynomial. Okay. Now the conclusion is the following. Quantum integrable system in 1 degree of freedom. In 1 degree of freedom, given, for example, this like this polynomial differential operator depending on h bar, gives you a family of classical integrable systems. So m h bar prime omega h bar, which maps to, let's say, the same standard line, coordinate line. Coordinate maybe denoted by T or the same as Hamiltonian, but m h over depending on form parameter h bar, and even for more parameter is your original manifold minus some finite set of critical points. Kind of like this finite set of functions. Yeah, so we now have the following question. How to describe in terms of algebraic geometry classical integral system on kind of non-affine variety? Because we remove from like from C2 several points. Actually, it will be analytic variety, complex analytic. First, we should understand a neighborhood of a puncture. So we have a neighborhood of a puncture. So we get this red dot, which I remove. I get kind of germ of punctured neighborhood of, let's say, 0.00 in C2 with symplectic form dz1 dz2 and projection to by map Z1, Z2 to C. Or maybe something else, some, with some corrections, high order terms. So how to classify it? I say that on the base we have some certain coordinate T in order to make my change of coordinates to be abelian group. But I claim that there are several things on the base. There exists a canonical coordinate on the base, not equal to this coordinate T, which I call T canonical. And now I'll describe in kind of two steps. Yeah, so just repeat my picture. I say I have this. What is it? I have. Have M omega depending on H bar secretly its projection to the base. Now if consider it initial point before deformation, we consider pi 1 of any point of the base is equal to either, if you look on this picture, sorry, is either cylinder, topologically a cylinder, if B is not equal to zero, or union of two cylinders. When you write like Z1 to Z2 equal to zero, get union of two, maybe punctured disk. And for B non equal to zero, we get well-defined homology class, vanishing cycle. And for B not equal to zero, get two vanishing cycle. It depends on which kind of direction you choose, vertical direction or horizontal one. Yeah, so it's roughly one guy goes like this, another guy goes like this. Okay, but up to zero, after to zero, they coincide. And then one can define certain one form. Namely, you integrate omega over vanishing cycle. You get closed one form. A priori, since it seems that you get a trouble on the base at point B equals to zero, but you don't get a trouble because one can do two ways. Either one can choose this cycles close to this intersection with like Z1 equal to one, something like this. And then you get family of, so you choose one of these halves, and you get family of cycles, which it's not singular, so this doesn't feel any trouble. Or you can choose a different family of cycles. But for B, so a priori you get two closed one forms on the base, but they coincide. Why they coincide? Because they coincide for B non equal to zero, because for B non equal to zero, it's just homology class is the same. Get kind of a priori two one forms on B, but coincide for B non equal to zero, hence the same. Yeah, so I get this closed one form and this closed one form will be, by definition, it will be like say 2 pi I times dt canonical. It will be the definition of what is a canonical guy. Yeah, maybe just change the color of this. Color, what is it? I don't know. It's like this, yeah. So you get canonical coordinate. And this is canonical coordinate. For example, why it calls canonical? Because if you get your function is T is equal to Z1 cross Z2. And if we form Z1 dZ2, then T canonical is the same as T. It's very easy to, because you integrate, just you get exactly 2 pi I times dt. Okay, this thing defines T canonical up to shift, up to adding a constant. And if you have a parameter, it will be constant depending on h bar. How to fix this constant? So there is a following following idea. Again, we have the same picture. But remember that everything is a complex, yeah. And now we have point on the base. In the base. Now we take pre-image, takes generic point, doesn't matter, or not generic point, and it contains vanishing cycles, vanishing cycle. So it's which is diffeomorphic to S1. But my manifold is this C2 more or less, or distance 2 minus a point. So it's homotopy equivalent to S3. Yeah, so there's no trouble, no problem to find disk, not holomorphic disk in M prime, whose boundary is your vanishing cycle. And homologically, it's even a unique way because pi 2 of M prime is 0. And then we take this T canonical. Will be defined again 1 over 2 pi I integral of my symplectic form of this two-dimensional disk. Yeah, the differential of this guy gives exactly the previous one form, so it's a bit more tricky weight definition, but it fixes the ambiguity with a constant. Okay, now I have described you what is a will be some kind of given canonical coordinate on the base, but it doesn't say that my integral system is the standard one in this canonical form. Namely, what happens in the canonical coordinate? One have the following. One have your just piece of manifold. Just repeat drawing the same picture. You can cover by two domains, like domain when where z1 is not equal to 0, union another domain when z2 is not equal to 0. Yeah, so you get these two domains, and something like U1 or U2, and they have intersection when both coordinates are equal to 0. Each UI is symplectic form and a map to a fine line, this T canonical to C, is isomorphic to the standard one. Like you do for harmonic oscillator. So the only trouble appears in the gluing. And the gluing, as explained, is given by some one form. Anticanonical. And how to formulate things properly. One can find in one domain, for example, in this domain, with the standard form, it means that we can find certain function, and I denote something like phi1, which is will be a logarithm of z1. It will be multi-valued function plus a regular function. And such that phi1 with T canonical is equal to 1, Poisson bracket is equal to 1. That means that you can put in standard form. Similarly, on the second part, you can choose another multivalued coordinate whose exponent will be actual coordinate. again, since regular at some regular function, said that commutator of T2 with T canonicals also equal to minus one. Yeah, so can reduce to the standard form. These things you can choose not unique way. But now if consider phi one plus phi two on intersection, these things commute with Poisson bracket with T canonical will be zero because you get plus one and minus one. So it means that this expression phi one plus phi two is certain function of T canonical, and because of multi-value interest should be log T canonical plus one valued function. The monodromy six, the rest will have no monodromy, and one valued function will be certain, okay, some certain coefficients, some coefficients, I don't know, tau k times T canonical to power k. Vk, in fact, can go from minus infinity to plus infinity because it's on a punctured disk. So you see, you get certain function on punctured disk, this one-valued function, and it's not uniquely determined because this phi1 and phi2 choose kind of a bit ad hoc. You can add regular terms, and what I say is kind of like invariant. It will be some, it will be tk, vk greater, less than or equal to minus one, singular part of the series. And there is a kind of really funny fact that, maybe I just put it here, fact. Tau minus one is equal to zero. Why it's equal to zero? The explanation, it's actually some bit long calculation. In this picture, we really use the definition of canonical coordinate up to shift, only its differentials relevant. But if you trace back this definition with integral of disks, then it turns out to be exactly equivalent to vanishing of time minus one. So the invariance will be, in fact, not less than minus two, but less than minus two, because time tau minus one vanishes. Okay, so you get series in degrees minus two, minus three, or four, depending on small parameter, and this is invariant of if you don't choose any coordinate whatsoever on your germ. Okay. Now, one can make kind of now we're using the fact that this have quantum normal form, we want to see what's going on, what is this negative powers in our example. And for quantum normal form, it says that we essentially we have to study the case of standard harmonic oscillator. And standard harmonic oscillator, I'll write as one half or whatever. For my harmonic oscillator, I will maybe because it's Planck constant, and I'll just use replace, forget about I in the Planck constant. It will be my harmonic oscillator will be the following guy. Will be h bar. So this is, this will be my harmonic oscillator, or maybe put IH bar if you want. Okay. Yeah, so get this operator with eigen, it acts on polynomials with eigenvalues 1 half, 3 half, and so on. And let's for a moment skip about H bar. So let's kind of H0 will be just really this guy. Now I want to calculate, I want to proceed in my previous strategy. So consider neighborhood of zero for this harmonic oscillator, remove ramification point, identify with the family of classical system, try to make calculation. And how I do calculation, you see that I have some function phi one, phi two, so that I want some kind of like phi one quantum, so that h zero quantum, okay, h zero will be, let's say one, and phi two quantum, h will be minus one. I just want to find conjugate variables, but this thing should be have kind of multivalued, like exponent of phi one, exponent of phi two will be one valued. So it'll stay this as the logarithms. And this things which have this commutator equal to one, I will write in a form which don't have Planck constant, but this there is the following. Phi one was something like log z. Maybe it will be minus one, sorry. Yeah. And another guy will be log du dz. Yeah, so you get this operator. Yeah, so you ask, what does it mean? Yeah, one should put this Planck constant in the game, and then these things will be well defined. Yeah, so you get the things, and now we had to repeat the following procedure. We say that log z plus log du dz is equal to logarithm of h0 plus one valued function in h0. It's commute with a zero. Yeah, yeah, so it's completely parallel to the previous calculations. Phi one, phi two, it will be logarithm plus certain series. And what is the series? The claim that the series is very simple. I claim it's log h zero plus plus 124 h0 squared minus 7 960 h0 to 4 and so on. So what you see here, it's almost Bernoulli numbers. It's the same as what is called, maybe I can write, go to next page and just what series which we have. Actually, I want to replace it maybe by s plus half. The reason is the following. For the series, if you consider function my Hamiltonian was like this, yeah, and if you apply it to expression like z to power s, you get s plus one half z to power s, and then one can make try to calculate how log z plus log du dz acts on z to power s, and get this series. And in order to calculate log du dz, you use Fourier transform. And if you use Fourier transform, you will see certain gamma function, and the story is the following. There is a function what's called psi function of s, is gamma prime of s, gamma of s, and now consider gamma of s plus one half, psi of s plus one half, it will be log of s plus 1/24 s squared minus 7/96 s to the power 4 plus so etc. Then I can write it's log s plus sum over n greater than 1. 1 minus 1 over 2 to power 2 n minus 1. Take Bernoulli number, divide it by 2n, and take s to power minus 2n. Yeah, so I get this expression and the claim that it gives you this change of coordinates for this harmonic oscillator. Yeah, so there are Bernoulli numbers here. And here's this really very funny thing here. You get this number, yeah? It's almost Bernoulli number. Bernoulli numbers, it's like value of zeta function at negative integer. But the claim, this is trace of harmonic oscillator to power 2n minus 1. And trace is kind of regularized, zeta regularized. Yeah, so you see that our expression, which we have at the end of the day, looks pretty interesting. It will be log h0 plus sum over n greater than 1, trace of h0 to power n minus 1, divided by h0 to power 2n. I really don't understand this formula. It's a strange thing to do with operator. Yeah, and the funny things actually the following. In all this business was based on notion of canonical coordinates, which was a bit artificial definition using integration of two form of a disk. We can shift the six by 1/2 or by any number. So instead of this Hamiltonian, we consider z by z. And for shifted guys, I think it will be exactly the same formula. You'd get a little bit different shifted standard harmonic oscillator, and the change and this change will be given by the same formula. Okay. Now I'm almost ready to give you the final description how we calculate spectra. That's a pretty long story. Yeah. So we have this, let's say, polynomial differential operator depending on h bar, and has classical limit. We get some family of curves, some C2 maps to C, and it's M, and it's base, and M contains M prime, C2 minus critical points, and also project to the same B. And here I got values of my contains again finite set. It's kind of a discriminant set, pi y minus of single ramification points. And when we consider integral systems, yeah, so it's everything outside of this finitely many points looks normal one. So when we deform, we should get we should get family of curves over B minus discriminant. And on the total space, we'll get a Hallmark polynomial, but actually we make more because we add something on the special fiber as well. But first, I'll look over these things. What we get, family of curves. And this family of curves, you get kind of like curve CT, which is a fine curve. It's not a compact one. And the structure of integral system, I'll speak about classical one. It will be the following. You get lattice of H1 of, you can see the lattice of first homology. And it maps to closed one form on the base. you get local system of first homology maps to closed one form from space. It's with some kind of like people called it quantum periods, something like this. And here, what happens? You have homology of a fine curve kind of fact. This map descends to compact curves. So this quantum period, you can integrate quantum periods around punctures and they're all equal to zero. Yeah, so you get some curves of some genus 2G, which degenerates near critical points. Yeah, so you see that we describe classical integrable system. First, if you ignore a singular curve, classical integrable system on base minus discriminant, it will be something pretty nice. You get a bundle with monodromy SP2GZ, with G is genus of the generic fiber. So it's flat connection. So called it's kind of like HZ connection. It has some lattice. And then I got plus section of let's just a little bit maybe first cohomology section of HZ tensoring of closed one form on the base. In one dimension, it's just really just one forms. Get the section, which is holomorphic on base minus discriminant. Yeah, that's how we describe, if you ignore this troubles with singularities, we get a kind of local systems and section of this local systems one forms. Now, what happens near singularities? Let's say on the base. The story is the following. I assume that if like all different eigenvalues, critical values are distinct, and then what happens? It's at critical values of my Hamiltonian, I get my curve will be degenerate. It will be fiber will be curve is double points, and then this monodromy of these things will be isomorphic to matrix 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, kind of 2G by 2G matrix and such things. And one can choose, one can find, because it's monodromy, so one can identify with a standard sink with this monodromy, and can find local trivialization of H1Z times O. Such a connection is has the following form, is the connection has the form dt minus dt t alpha, with t alpha this is critical value. So I can trivialize your bundle in such ways this connection is equal to d plus this one form. Now, what are constraints for my sections? For section S, which is will be actually vector. Near T alpha. These things depend on T and also depend on H bar. So this my sections depend on T and H bar. And also maybe I should multiply by DT, the whole stuff. So get for each cycle, get one form. So if we analyze what is going on, what happens, that's the following properties. Actually, maybe I'll tell what a C1, C2, CG. C2 up to CG will be integrals of omega times dt over some cycles, which do not, which are invariant under monodromy. So if my kind of fiber which degenerates is some curve, certain genus, let's say, then I'll say the following. This cycle gamma 2, it will be vanishing cycle. Then I get gamma 3, gamma 4, gamma 5, gamma 6. So that all the rest will be okay. But then there will be one bad cycle like gamma 1. Gamma 1 has intersection with vanishing cycle non-zero. It will be, so the monodromy will be gamma 1 goes to gamma 1 plus gamma 2. It will be the monodromy. So we take integrals over cycles gamma 2, gamma 2, g. They do not touch singularities, so the things will be have no singularities. So it means that sigma 2 up to sigma 2 gt have no pole at t equal to goes to t alpha. But what goes with C1? Yeah, in fact, how we define C1? Because gamma 1 is not really well defined. I'll take that C1 ddt will be integral of my form omega over vanishing cycle, which is multivalued. And then I should, by this form, remove some standard piece, this kind of log of t minus t alpha of C2 t dt. It's a convention because that's how I write my form. And then C1 will be one valued form expression. So I get this picture, and now one can compare finally to what we want. So we claim that we have certain canonical coordinate, t canonical, maybe depending on alpha, near t alpha, it's canonical coordinate, also depending on h bar, so that C1 of get C1 of t plus log of t minus t alpha times C2 times dt is equal to things. This guy should be in canonical coordinate, should be the standard form, log t canonical, and then I should add this thing now with the h bar parameter, so it will be plus 1 over h bar square over 24 t canonical squared plus h bar, maybe 7 h bar 4, 960 t canonical power 4. This completely explicit formula plus times dt canonical plus unknown series without poles. Yeah. So that's a constraint. But now it's dt canonical, but there is but also what we have that C2 times dt is equal to dt is equal to dt canonical. That's the definition of dt canonical. So we get just two equations. And this guy. Now you divide by dt canonical, and then you get the following thing. Then it implies the following. You get C1 of t divided by C2 of t plus log of t minus t alpha divided by t canonical is equal to, now we have this absolute, this standard series, you get again h bar square 24 t canonical square minus 7 h bar 4 9060 t canonical 4 plus unknown regular function, regular series. Now, if you look on this, I think it's kind of complicated formula, but roughly speaking, it predicts uniquely everything up to very, very small ambiguity, which I don't yet figure out. The reason is the following. I recall that C2 up to 2CG have no poles, have no singularities. Yeah, imagine that the right-hand side of this my story is zero, yeah? You don't have this Bernoulli number contribution. Then what will happen, it will say that S1 also has no singularities. So this things has no singularities whatsoever, so you'd have section of your global bundle, and also if you control 6 at infinity, you get OP1, so it's essentially one section of maybe some finite dimensional space of section. So the only ambiguity will be maybe some series in one variable, but not in two variables. And here it's what is going, it's some kind of perturbation of the story. So if you calculate step by step, you will have essentially unique solution. It's like if you know singular terms of your rational function everywhere on P1, then you know your rational function. Yeah, but it's kind of complicated non-linear procedure. It defines unique solution, and particularly you find what is T canonical, because it will be given by this coming from this second equation, C2 times dt is dt canonical. And you fix it also to this six is residue, there's no terms in degree minus one. So you found this T canonical. So you have this your change of variables and then apply to your spectrum of quantum standard oscillator, you get all your series. You know the change of coordinates going to this Birkhoff normal form. Yeah, so that's roughly the procedure. So you perturb your equation in Hodge theory or something like you get local system and consider home from your local system to closed one forms. You perturb it in some kind of tricky way near singularities, and then it will give you description of the spectrum. Yes, that's essentially all which I want to say. And I hope soon it will ready to be kind of efficient computer program to calculate this stuff very, very fast and up to very high precision. Okay, thank you.
All right. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. So one is, your construction is geometric. So can you do it not for differential equations, but for...
Yes, the same works for Q difference equations. It doesn't matter, you get star algebra, you get star product.
I understand that you get a star product, you can state the problem, but the question is whether you can solve it exactly in the same way.
Exactly the same way, yes, there's no difference.
So you have still variation of which structure...
Yes.
...on system. Okay, second question about the exponential corrections. What should be changed or added, rather?
Yeah, actually, I forgot to say that all these Bernoulli numbers were observed by a long time ago by Jean Justin. He was actually interested in the following operator, minus h bar squared, maybe one half h bar squared over dx squared, plus something like x minus one squared. So you get double bell. And yeah, so a priori it looks like it gets completely the same contribution from the left to the right, and then he said it should be exponential small corrections, kind of trans-series, coming from kind of tunneling effect. Yeah, but it's a special situation. I get two your minimum is achieved twice. Maybe if minimum is just once, maybe there's no exponential corrections, or maybe the less than exponential. I really have no idea. But that was his study, and he predicted even some more complicated series stuff, how you get this trans series. So you get something like h bar to of n minus a h to power m, something like this, where a is energies for this tunneling effect. So he get more complicated stuff. And I still don't understand it. And I think mathematicians were not able didn't really work it out. So we're just on semi-classical level.
Okay. And the kind of conventional story, which is in the textbooks about WKB.
WKB, you see that wave function will be concentrated near zero. It will be exponentially small. I think.
No. I'm not about the wave function. I am about. I'm talking about the spectrum, and the.
Yeah. No, the spectrum. WKB. You see, WKB. It's about wave functions. Yeah. You solve equation h bar.
I don't know. I mean, we should ask David. But I thought that it was about the spectrum, the expansion of the spectrum.
No. It's two different questions.
Yeah, but they certainly have series for a spectrum.
Yeah, since WKB, it's kind of better work when you consider like level set of Hamiltonian, which is smooth curve, not singular one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And here we are really interested about singular point of the spectral curve, singular curve.
But in the end,
it's a different question. For example, for WKB, come from kind of path integral, yeah?
No. The question is that they produce some series in H bar, which claim to be series for the spectrum of the same Hamiltonian. You produce a series in H bar. So what should I do with them? Are they equal? Should I?
Yes. No, at the end of the day, it's the same story, but. Yeah, in fact, there are, I think kind of in quantum mechanics, there are three different resurgent series for different questions. As you consider WKB approximation to wave function, or second, you consider this low energy spectrum, and the third guy you consider like heat kernel, actual path integral. These are all three different beasts. This are not spectrum, it's maybe closely related to WKB, but. Yeah, for example, there is the statement, which is also like you consider a Laplace operator, maybe divided with small time, yeah, kind of like. Consider trace of things, it will be also given by CMHN, and then CN will go like n factorial. It's another thing. It's also related to spectrum, of course, yeah, but in a different way.
Yes, but I think, frankly speaking, I did not understand your question. Whether it's same series or different series?
No. No. I think there's a kind of three different resurgent series in quantum mechanics.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you do the following. You consider h bar of c is equal to like exponent of s of h bar, and then plus some high terms. It's also resurgent series. And another question is about eigenvalues.
Yes. So what, I'm talking about eigenvalues because
eigenvalues. They
produce some series and different by different methods. Solving some differential equations, blah blah blah. And I'm more interested from the point of view of this WKB approach to Nekrasov and Shitashvili perturbative part. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it's actually what is going on. They consider some degeneration of this integral system. It's maybe it's more or less the same.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions? All right, let's thank Maxime again.
Okay.